Welcome, everyone, to the Instructional Leadership Show. This is episode 96, Testing Your Hunches About Teacher Performance. I'm your host, Justin Bader, and in this episode, we're going to talk about how to kind of check your assumptions, how to kind of validate and interrogate your assumptions about how a teacher is doing, or how really any employee is doing, so that when we reach the end of the year, the conclusions that you've reached are well supported and there are no surprises. I'm a big believer that, you know, we don't want to end up with surprises when it comes to employee evaluation. So our essential question for this episode of the Instructional Leadership Show is, how can we draw sound conclusions about each teacher's performance or each employee's performance? If you're supervising principals, this will apply fairly well to principals. If you're supervising other staff, such as teachers' assistants, it can certainly apply there as well, while helping them improve between now and the end of the school year. See, the thing about putting off all judgment till the end of the school year is we miss the opportunity to do something about that level of performance in the meantime. So we want to do everything we can to move now based on the information that is available to us. And we're at a point in the year when, honestly, we should have had plenty of opportunity by now to get a sense of each teacher's practice, right? Or each employee's performance. And of course, being in a pandemic, you know, if things are remote, if you are doing virtual learning right now, then obviously the forms of evidence available to you are very different. But, you know, generally speaking, by February, by this point in the school year, we have kind of a sense of how people are doing. We have some hunches about what our hunches need to be, at least. And it's now time to take those more seriously and really start to interrogate them, because having a hunch is not enough by itself, right? It's a good idea to kind of start with your opinions and then investigate those and kind of figure out, you know, is this right? Am I on the right track? Is what I'm thinking in alignment with the evidence? But what we need to do is not just leave those at the level of a hunch, right? It's not enough to say, well, I just kind of think this is how you're doing, or this is kind of how I think that teacher is doing. We need to actually check our assumptions, check our suspicions against the evidence. And that's what we call a working hypothesis. That's the phrase we're going to use. Is working hypothesis. And the longer we put this off, the more we hesitate to form an opinion and interrogate that opinion against the evidence, the harder it's going to be to get our evaluations done at the end of the year. We're saving up a bigger and bigger task the longer we put this off. Like, it just gets bigger the more we put it off. And if we get started sooner, on the other hand, we're going to be able to do a much better job of completing evidence-based evaluations because we've been doing the work all along. And as a bonus, we're going to have much more opportunity to actually impact employee performance in the meantime. We're actually going to be able to help teachers improve. If you're a principal supervisor, you can actually help your principals improve if you take action on these hunches sooner rather than later. So let's look at a couple possibilities here. These are all written in kind of teacher evaluation language here, or like the kinds of hunches you might have about teacher performance. But again, if you supervise principals, you could certainly apply this to administrators as well. Things like, I just don't think she's really putting enough effort into planning. It just seems uneven sometimes. If she knows I'm coming, the lesson seems really well organized. But then if I pop in at a different time, or if I check lesson plans at a different time when there's not a formal observation scheduled, it's just not the same level of quality. So that's the kind of hunch that this time of year you want to start acting on. You want to start saying to yourself, what evidence do I have that this is really true? To what extent is this true? Am I onto something here, or was this kind of an isolated incident? We'll talk more about some specific questions you can ask about your hunches, but let's look at a couple other examples here. I think he is kind of losing the students in his math lessons. Boy, they're not really getting it. He's plowing ahead and just not really aware that students aren't with him because he doesn't do enough formative assessment. That could be the kind of hunch that you have developed by this point in the year for a math teacher, and you've got a little bit of a hunch about what the solution is, what the way to address that is. But this is not enough by itself, right? It's just a hunch, just a starting point. Another example. So I feel like she's getting the kids to be on their best behavior for formal observations, but the rest of the time just really struggling with classroom management, right? Maybe you've developed a hunch like that about a particular teacher that you've observed. You've seen some good things. You've done some informal observations and seen some things that are not so great. One more example. I think actually that'll do it on the examples. But, you know, we all have these hunches that we form throughout the year, right? We get a sense of how people are doing. We kind of get a sense from the things that people say to us, from the comments that teachers make in and outside of the classroom, from the, you know, the kind of what we hear as we walk by the classroom, even if we don't go in. And then, of course, from our formal and informal observations. And you know that I am a big fan of getting into classrooms informally in addition to the required formal visits. And just a couple visits a day really is all it takes. If you can get into classrooms 3 times a day, I've got a book somewhere. Oh, here it is right in front of me. Now we're talking 21 Days to High Performance Instructional Leadership that'll help you develop the habit of getting into classrooms every single day. Just visit 3 classrooms a day. If you're remote right now, if you're virtual and you can't get into classrooms, just call people and talk to them. And there are lots of different ways to get a sense of teacher practice. But you know, whenever you can, getting into classrooms informally just gives you so much more perspective and so much more information. But what I think we tend to try to do is we try to put it off until the end of the year. We try to say to ourselves, well, I'm just going to do all my evaluations at the end of the year. I'm just going to keep an open mind and I'm going to focus on gathering information. I'm going to go through the process, but I'm not going to make any kind of judgments until the very end of the year. I want to give teachers the entire year to improve, to demonstrate their, you know, their skills. And I'm just going to put off, I'm going to defer that judgment until the very end of the year. I hear that thinking around teacher evaluation. And I get that because, you know, in a sense, we don't want to judge teachers prematurely, right? Like we want to do our evaluations when they're due. We want to give people every opportunity to improve. And we don't want to come to any firm conclusions prematurely, right? Like we want to do this at the right time. But the thing is, we can't simply put off all judgment. It's not really true that we wait to rate teachers until all the evidence is in, right? Our judgment is being exercised all throughout the year from day one, right? From the moment you hire someone, your professional judgment is in operation. You are collecting evidence. You are considering information. You are mentally updating your assessment of how someone is doing, whether they're struggling. If you hear a comment, you know, and sometimes it's not real evidence, right? Sometimes it's just gossip. Sometimes it's hearsay. Sometimes it's just, you know, you hear this person talking to one of their coworkers and you think maybe they're having a bad day or maybe there's really something going on here. And we're constantly updating our mental assessment of how people are doing. We cannot put off all judgment until the very end of the year. It's just not possible because if you have judgment, it is operating, right? It's like, you know, you can't unsee something. You can't unhear something. You can't unlearn something. You can get conflicting information that may change your mind. But once something goes into your head, it's going to be there, right? And we have to then decide what to do with that. Because again, it may not be reliable yet. It may be hearsay. Our hunch may be premature. We've got to figure out what to do with that. And I think the best thing to do with that stuff that we tend to get about our employees, whether they're teachers or principals or aides or whoever, is we need to develop working hypotheses. That phrase, working hypotheses, refers to hunches that are more than hunches, right? That we have started to really keep in mind as our working assumption about how someone is doing, but that we continue to update as we get new information. And we continue to be skeptical about low quality information that we might have. For example, gossip and hearsay are fairly low quality information. They're not worthless. They're not nothing, but they're not reliable. So we need to be especially careful to be skeptical about hypotheses that are based on kind of low quality information. What we don't do though is we don't say, well, this is not a formal observation that I'm doing. I'm just going to pop in the classroom and see what's going on. So this is non-evaluative. We don't want to say that anything we do as instructional leaders is non-evaluative, right? If you are a principal supervisor and you stop by the school and you see the principal doing something terrible, well, that is not going to be a non-evaluative interaction, even if the purpose of your visit was not to evaluate the principal, even if you just stopped by to deliver a package for somebody, right? There is nothing that shapes your professional judgment that really is truly non-evaluative. And we have this kind of formal language around what counts and what doesn't in the evaluation process. But ultimately, a lot of this comes down to your working hypothesis. And at the end of the year, your final evaluation, your final judgment of how someone is doing. So it's never really true that that anything is completely non-evaluative. If information is coming to your attention, then it's going to shape your judgment. And we just need to be careful to assess the quality of that information. And we do that through what we call, again, a working hypothesis. So when you have formed a tentative judgment, or just kind of like you're thinking, you know, where your thinking is now is your working hypothesis. You want to continually put that working hypothesis on the witness stand, and you want to interrogate it, and you want to say, is this really true? Is this really the case? Do I really know that it's the case that this teacher is struggling with classroom management, or that teacher doesn't use formative assessment, or this other teacher is really good at communicating with parents? You know, whatever your working hypothesis is, you want to continue to be skeptical of it and to question it with evidence. And to do that, the first step is to actually articulate it. See, we tend to keep this stuff in the back of our minds, right? It's tacit. It is an assumption. It's not something we even say out loud, much less write down, because we think we're kind of not supposed to. And of course, you want to be very careful not to create an improper paper trail, right? Like, if you don't have solid evidence, don't put something in writing. Don't email the teacher and say, hey, I really think you're unsatisfactory because I heard a rumor. You know, we don't want to create any kind of cart before the horse type of documentation. But we do want to at least for ourselves, articulate a judgment and get a sense of where we really think someone is. Because once we've done that, then we can more deliberately interrogate that working hypothesis and say, is this really true? Is this really what the evidence says about this teacher's practice? And I want to give you a strategy for doing this today that can help you kind of keep track of a large number of people in a large number of different areas of performance. Because frankly, this is overwhelming, right? If you have 24 evaluation criteria, you know, maybe you use the Danielson framework and you have four domains and, I don't know, 24, 26 different criteria. And then you have 20, 30, 40, 60, 100 staff members that you evaluate. Well, that's a lot of data points, right? And especially since we'd like to have multiple data points for each criterion, for each staff member, this gets overwhelming very quickly. So I want to give you a strategy for keeping this straight in your head, for kind of mentally keeping track of how people are doing, that I call the bucket strategy. You can think of this as buckets of paint or just, you know, pails that are sitting out in a row. And you don't have to have a unique bucket for every person. You can kind of mentally lump people together and say, okay, I have some teachers who are just really, really strong with classroom management. They're warm demanders. Their classroom management is not a concern at all. They never have issues. If there is an issue with student behavior, they know how to handle it. And they're just going in my bucket of, you know, absolutely no struggles with classroom management. Probably most of your teachers would fit in that bucket. And if they don't, most of them would probably fit in a certain other bucket. So you might have two or three or four different buckets when it comes to classroom management. And you can just kind of mentally lump everyone together into one of those buckets. And that's the extent of your working hypothesis for classroom management. So you can go into a classroom and you can say, how's it going in here today? You kind of get a sense of how the teacher's doing in terms of their classroom management. And if it looks like they're in the wrong bucket in your head, you can take the information that you have, the new evidence that's presenting itself, and say to yourself, do I need to think of this teacher as actually in need of more support in classroom management? I thought they had it under control. Maybe I do need to kind of mentally move them to another bucket. And I want to be really, really clear here that this is something that is just in your head, right? This is just a categorization that exists in your mind so that you can get a sense of what you're thinking for each person. And when it comes to providing support, you know, maybe we can get an instructional coach to come in, or maybe we can get a discipline expert or a classroom management expert to come in and do some modeling. Well, if I'm going to do that, who do I want that person to work with? Or if I'm going to send people to a training, who is it worth spending the money and getting the subs and whatever, or signing people up for a webinar to send people to training? Who would be in that bucket? If you are using this bucket strategy, then those people should come readily to mind, because you've been thinking, okay, this is my working hypothesis. This is what bucket that person is in for this particular issue of classroom management. And you might have completely different bucket schemes for different issues, right? You might have lots of people who are not struggling with classroom management who are struggling with formative assessment. So you could have people who are in the good, no problems at all classroom management bucket, and in the they really don't get formative assessment, they're not using it, they're losing their kids, and you're going to have some just kind of very different buckets, depending on what evaluation criteria you're thinking about. And this is especially true, I think, at the secondary level, where maybe people are more content focused. They might be really strong with their content, but struggle when it comes to classroom management or vice versa. So it's going to depend on, you know, the specifics of how people are doing. Another type of bucket that you might just want to use just to keep things simple for yourself is satisfactory versus maybe not satisfactory, right? Now, it's probably the case that in most years, most of your teachers overwhelmingly are satisfactory, right? You might have a few people who are really struggling, but for the most part, almost everybody is going to be satisfactory in pretty much everything. You might have some areas where you say, like, we're kind of marginal on this, but the overall evaluation is in no danger of being unsatisfactory for most people. And this is a critical way that you can prioritize and focus your attention on the people who need the most support, the best documentation, the most intense supervision, really, to be doing a good job and for you to have finished their evaluation successfully. So that's another way to bucket based on satisfactory or unsatisfactory. And then, of course, you could also keep in mind just needs that people have for professional development. And sometimes you might say, well, we're just going to do this for everybody. In other cases, you might choose to send a few people or have an expert work with just a few people who were in that bucket of need. So this idea of a working hypothesis can really help you kind of simplify your thinking. And what I recommend that you do is rather than say, okay, I need a separate bucket, I need several different buckets for every different evaluation criterion, what you might do is just kind of cluster your evaluation criteria into a simpler number of buckets, like classroom management, instructional skill, professional responsibility. You know, you could use some of the Danielson domains, although some of them you might want to break up a little bit more specifically. And then within each of those big categories, you can kind of lump people together if their practice is similar. So we gave the example of a warm demander, maybe someone who's too kind of loosey-goosey with their classroom management. That might be another bucket. And probably 2 to 3 to 4 buckets will cover just about everyone. So you can kind of keep this a little bit more straight in your head and not just think of it strictly in terms of each teacher's score on every different component of your evaluation. So I've got a couple other examples here. We'll talk more about this as evaluation season unfolds. But again, the idea here is that you're developing a working hypothesis and then you're updating it as you get new information. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the information that we have right now, knowing that that might be informal information. It might just be assumptions. It might be gossip. It might be hearsay. It might be things you heard as you walked past the classroom in the hallway. We're going to take that informal evidence and we're going to try to articulate a hypothesis that you can hold on to and test, right? You kind of collect that hypothesis and think, all right, I'm going to just kind of keep this for observation for a while. And as you gather more reliable forms of evidence through formal observations, through different documents that maybe the teacher is working on, different artifacts, lesson plans, different things like that, then you start to get more formal evidence that allows you to update that hypothesis. Maybe you say, okay, I thought this teacher was really struggling with classroom management, but I've seen lots of formal evidence and lots of informal evidence since then that has helped me realize that was just a bad day, right? That was just one bad day. The overwhelming evidence is that this teacher's classroom management is good. All right, so if that's what happens, great. You are in great shape because you have interrogated that hypothesis and you've traded in your unreliable evidence for more reliable evidence. What I want to do now is give you the gold standard of reliable evidence that's known as CEIJ. And this comes from John Safier's work starting in the 1980s from Research for Better Teaching. He developed this this acronym CEIJ that stands for Claim, Evidence, Interpretation, Judgment. And if you will recall recently, we did an episode on developing employee improvement plans back in episode 92, where I demonstrated how to use CEIJ to document poor performance and write an improvement plan. We're not going to get into all of that today, but we are going to use that same acronym, Claim, Evidence, Interpretation, Judgment, CEIJ, to interrogate the evidence and interrogate the working hypothesis that you have for each teacher in a particular area. So let's start with the claim. So if you've got a working hypothesis about a teacher's practice in a specific area, you want to ask yourself, am I saying that this was just one isolated incident? Was this a bad day, an exceptionally good day? Was this just kind of bad luck on the teacher's part? Or is this typical of the teacher's practice? To hold up as a claim, it needs to be typical of the teacher's practice, right? If we're making a claim, we're not saying that one time you messed up, right? We're saying this is what your practice is like on an ongoing basis. This is what your performance is like, and the evaluation is going to reflect that unless it changes, right? So if it's not good, we want that typical practice to improve. We don't want to just be shown one good lesson that has one positive example in a sea of poor practice all across the year. We want to make a claim, a defensible, evidence-backed claim about the teacher's typical practice. So that's what your working hypothesis should articulate. Then we move on to the evidence. Do we have multiple pieces of evidence to back that claim? Can I say over and over and over again, I've seen it, I've got it documented? Or is it more hearsay or just kind of, I was walking by the room and I thought I heard kind of evidence? We want to get better and better firsthand evidence over time, and certainly by the time we reach the end of the school year. But we don't want to wait till the end of the school year. We want to start assembling that high quality evidence now. Then that brings us to the interpretation. CEIJ, the interpretation, is the impact on student learning. And this is where we have to be honest with ourselves about whether this is something that really does matter for student learning. Because it's easy for us as administrators who have been teachers to have particular preferred ways of doing things, particular instructional strategies that we like, pet strategies that we like, and pet peeves that we just hate to see. We've got to ask ourselves, is this really something that impacts students, or is it just something that I'm picky about? And that's where we can articulate this and say, what are the consequences for student learning? And do those consequences flow directly from this particular practice? Or am I just seeing an outcome that I don't like and seeing a practice that I don't like and assuming that there's a relationship there? We've got to be really careful not to be arbitrary in our focus on practices that we do or do not like if there's not a direct connection between that practice and the impact on student learning. Right? Then we get to the judgment. And of course, we're not going to actually issue an evaluation until the appropriate time. But we do want to start thinking, where is this practice on our rubric? Am I seeing something that in good conscience, I cannot rate as satisfactory? Is this really unsatisfactory performance? If so, I want to do something about that now, right? I don't want to hold on to that and then surprise the teacher with an unsatisfactory evaluation at the end of the year. I want to give them every chance starting now to improve that practice. So again, we don't want to withhold judgment, right? We want to act based on high quality information. But if our judgment is clear that things are not as they need to be, we need to do something about that. We need to get the teacher going on some sort of improvement effort or improvement plan. And if we don't have high quality evidence, and if we fail to gather higher quality evidence between now and the end of the year, here's what's going to happen. We are going to end up having to default to satisfactory. We're going to have to say to the teacher, according to what I've documented, you're satisfactory in this area. Even if our hunch in the back of our minds is that that's not really the case. Even if we think there really are problems, if we don't have good evidence, we're not going to be able to put that in the evaluation. So we don't want to put off thinking about those judgments. That's the big takeaway here, is we want to start doing that thinking now and saying, here's what I'm thinking. Do I have good evidence for that? Can I do something about that? How can I get higher quality evidence? And we want to start to kind of cluster our judgments about teacher practice in specific areas for everybody into those buckets. And I wanted to share a tool with you that we've been sharing with our members for many years now. And you can update this with your own teachers, your own kind of buckets. This is called the Evaluation Organizer Spreadsheet. It's just an Excel spreadsheet. You can put it in Google Sheets if you want. You can upload it or save it to your computer, whatever you want to do. Just go to principalcenter.com/eval-org, and that'll take you to the download for the Excel file. You should just download right to your computer. And what you can do there is fill in your teacher names over on the left-hand side here. And then in the middle, there's some columns for different dates, when did you meet with the teacher and so forth. But in this middle section here, you see I've got classroom management, instructional skill, reflective practice, planning and preparation, collaboration and professionalism. This is where you articulate your buckets that you kind of mentally are thinking about the big categories. And I recommend that you kind of lump your evaluation criteria together a bit, because it's going to be too overwhelming to think of, 24 different criteria for 30 or 40 different teachers. Lump them together into kind of the big buckets. Are they around assessment, instruction, classroom management, professional responsibility? What are they? You decide, and then you kind of come up with your buckets. Maybe you have a lot of warm demanders in the classroom management department. You have other people who are very strict. You have other people who are kind of loosey-goosey. When it comes to reflective practice, maybe you have some people who are very self-directed and you put them in the same bucket. Maybe you have some people who are really still growing in that area. Whatever buckets make sense to you. Like if you can think, okay, these three teachers are really a lot alike in this regard, lump them in the same bucket, and then you can kind of interrogate that evidence. And maybe you need to move them to a different bucket, or maybe you need to add a bucket to really accurately capture where people are. In all category and in all cases, what you can do with this information is continue to interrogate it, continue to validate or refute your working hypotheses between now and the end of the year. So some takeaways for you with this approach. First of all, don't defer judgment till the end of the year. Don't say, I don't know, I'll decide in May. That is going to be too late to really do anything about it. So you want to really check your judgments now. You want to interrogate them, be honest about the evidence that you have, and develop those working hypotheses. You want to articulate and interrogate them using CEIJ. Make a claim about the typical teacher practice. Figure out what evidence you do or don't have to support that claim. Figure out what impact it has on student learning, the interpretation, and then figure out, you know, if you were rating this teacher today, where would your judgment fall? Are they satisfactory, unsatisfactory, level 2, level 3, level 4, whatever your system is? And then do something about it, right? Work to improve practice in those areas where it's not where it needs to be. And then keep updating your working hypotheses as new evidence emerges, as you gather higher and higher quality evidence from being in classrooms, talking with teachers, doing those observations. And of course, you can keep that all in your spreadsheet. That is it for this episode of the Instructional Leadership Show. Let me know what you think about this. You can email me anytime at justin@principalcenter.com, and I will catch you next time. Thanks so much for tuning in. Bye-bye.